We're talking with Elizabeth Hendricks Montgomery from Three Toed Farms in Winchester about cut flower production in Kentucky. Elizabeth, thanks for spending some time today with us. And tell me a little bit about the farm and about how long you've been involved and what your role is there.
Sure. So we have been in business since 1998. We grow cut flowers. We started growing cut flowers for the Lexington Farmers Market. About 5 years ago, I decided I was going to make it more of a full-time gig, and we added weddings and events and workshops and all sorts of other things. So now we're not only growers, but we're designers. So that means we're a farmer florist. And to speak of farmer florists, actually in 2015, we got a really awesome recognition as one of Martha Stewart's top 10 farmer florists in the U.S., which is crazy because we're a tiny little farm, but it's really blown us away and it's done a lot of great things for us. And that's pretty much what we do.
So you've been longtime vendors at the Lexington Farmers Market, and then you mentioned the change here about 5 years ago. Just kind of an estimate, how much of your time, either time-wise or sales-wise, is spent selling direct, and then how much is spent in these adding more value as a farmer florist and there at the farm?
Well, it's sort of different. There's three of us. It's me, my dad, and our partner, Valerie Shermer. And we all have extremely different roles. The weddings is definitely almost 100% for me. And then the farmer's market is pretty much 100% for my dad. So it's a little different, but the weddings has definitely become half of our business. It really took off a couple years ago. And we'll book weddings like 2 years in advance sometimes, which is crazy. It's a little different booking a wedding with us because we only take one or two a weekend, usually just one, which is really rare for a florist because usually they'll take up to 3-5. But we want to make sure everything we do is 100% perfect. And, you know, since we're growing the flowers we use, we don't want to have any room for error. Like, what if you didn't have enough? So we just always err on the side of caution by taking one or, you know, if they're really small, we could take two in a weekend, not on the same day. But, yeah, weddings is probably 50% of it now. And our workshops are, we did, I think, 12 workshops last year. And so those are really becoming just as big as farmers market for us.
So when the farm started growing cut flowers, what kind of got that going? What was the interest or the idea there that said, hey, there might be a market for this, or this is something that we're interested in back when it first began?
Well, it's a funny story. I was tiny. I was, like, not even thinking about any of this. But my dad, my mom, and Valerie and her husband were sitting on their front porch, probably drinking too much bourbon. And they decided they had this idea that they wanted to grow flowers, like huge oriental lilies. That's what we're known for, these huge oriental lilies. And Valerie said she would sell them at the farmer's market if my dad grew them. And it went from there, sort of snowballed, and just got bigger and bigger every year. And then before you knew it, they were building two huge greenhouses. And still to this day, that is what we're known for, those lilies. So the whole goal was to grow flowers that would stop you in your tracks. And we're still trying to do that. We want to grow things that people are afraid to grow, that they won't grow, things that aren't shippable. So they're flowers that you can't find at the wholesaler. You know, 80% of cut flowers around the, 80% of cut flowers that people get come from like South America, or they're shipped in from somewhere else. So when people see our flowers, we get this a lot. They say, we've never seen anything like this. And the reason is because they're grown here. They're fresh. They haven't been sitting in a cooler for 2 weeks. They haven't been doused in chemicals to keep them from blooming open. It's just so different. Our flowers are vastly different than anything you could find at a wholesaler. But that's been our number one goal, to grow things that stop people in their tracks.
Now, you're growing in both greenhouse and outside in field production, correct?
Correct. We have two big greenhouses that we grow lilies year-round in. We deliver to businesses, residences. We have, like, people that get lily bunches, like, bi-weekly. So, and that's almost to the point where we can't take any more people. And then in the summer, from May through October, we have flowers outside, and it's just pretty much anything you could think of. And we're always adding new varieties. We're always taking out a few varieties. And then we also have a second location, which is Bowery's House, and we have 600 dahlia plants, so that's quickly becoming one of our things that we're known for, the dahlias. And they bloom generally from, like, July through October, November, if we're lucky. But we've started overwintering them under these little tiny tunnels. It's like a 3-foot tunnel, and they are, like, I don't know, maybe 100 feet long. And so we keep them in the ground during the winter, which is crazy. But these little tunnels act as a little greenhouse and keep them warm. They protect them from the snow. And we sometimes, our dahlia season overlaps with peony season, which is crazy, because people usually have to dig their dahlias up and they don't get them until, like, I don't know, end of August, September, but we've got them pretty much all summer.
So that's an example of how someone wouldn't necessarily need to build a greenhouse to extend the season for outdoor cut flower production, right?
Yeah, a hoop house is great. And there are things you can do in a hoop house that you can't do in a greenhouse. You know, honestly, I wish we had a huge hoop house. It would definitely add a lot more work, and we don't really, I don't think we can handle that. But we're really spoiled with those greenhouses, but you do not need big, expensive greenhouses to do an operation like this. You just need a lot of time and the will to work really hard.
Now, when we talk about outdoor cut flower production there in central Kentucky, what are some of the things that are most challenging about that, and maybe some of the things that you all have learned here in the last 20, 25 years?
Every year is a challenge. It's Kentucky. I mean, gosh, this spring, if that's not an example, it's, you know, the weather's so different every year. One year it's super wet and things get moldy, so you learn something there. But you can't even apply what you learned that year to the next year because it's super dry next year. The spring's early. The spring is late. We'll get an early frost or a late frost. Kentucky weather is so unpredictable. So we've learned a lot, but it's never consistent. So I think the whole thing is just trial and error every year.
Is all your outdoor production in raised beds, or do you have any that aren't?
We till up a field every year. Definitely not a raised bed. And we've converted our entire flower field to smart cloth, something we actually sell. It's this professional grade landscape fabric that's really thick. It's like the fabric itself is supposed to last like 10 years. And we have teamed up with an engineer who burns holes in there, like with specific spacing for flowers. So we plant our plants through those holes, or we have a seed cloth too, where we can directly sow seed through the cloth. And it, we put that over the field, which we're about to put ours down next week. And then the seedlings that we've raised in the greenhouse, we'll plant those. We'll also directly sow seeds out there. But that smart cloth, the whole purpose is obviously to keep the weeds out. And it has been a lifesaver the past 3 years because we've expanded so much with more weddings, more workshops, growing more. For us to spend 10 hours a week weeding, it's not possible because there's only three of us and it's a lot of work. So that's really helped us. And not only does it keep the weeds out, which keeps your crop healthier, we've cut our water use in half. which is pretty major. The cloth breathes, but it doesn't hold moisture in and make it moldy, or it doesn't make it moldy or anything. It just, it's awesome. We love that stuff. So everybody who sees it wants to buy it. So we have, I think there's like 12 different patterns. Well, not 12 different patterns, but sizes people can choose from. Like if someone's doing a little vegetable garden or a cutting garden or a raised bed or whatever. But that smart cloth is, it is a lifesaver.
And what are the insects and diseases that give you the most headaches throughout the summer and early fall especially?
Well, that too is something you learn every year that it's different. Last year, the bug du jour was Japanese beetles, and it was horrible. We were able to get rid of them pretty. We got these, you've probably seen them since you're in the agriculture program, but those bags, those Japanese beetle, like, bag traps, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And we walked them, like, the perimeter, like, way far away from our field, but still sort of close so we could, like, attract them. And we emptied out, like, gallons every day. It was pretty gross. And they were very, very destructive to plants. In the greenhouse, this is really interesting. So aphids are awful. And they were really bad 2 years ago, and they're so hard to get rid of. So in our greenhouse, we've got gravel floor. So they get down in there, and it's, like, impossible to get it out. We were spraying, and the aphids were, like, they weren't dying. Like, they were, like, immune to the spray we were using. So that sucked. So we asked around, and what we ended up doing was we quit spraying altogether, so no chemicals. So they got really bad for about, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But we wanted all the chemicals to get out of the greenhouse and out of the plants. And we ordered these beneficial bugs, ladybugs, these little tiny black things that we drop down in the gravel, white lace flies. Mm-hmm. I got a bunch of praying mantis eggs from a friend of ours. And that's what we use for pests in the greenhouse. And it is far more effective than any chemical. It's pretty awesome. And it's neat to see all those little bugs around, especially the praying mantis.
And as you market your flowers, how do your customers like the idea of these kinds of pest controls? And
oh, I think that people are really into everything being all natural. Now, it's really different with flowers. You're not eating your flowers. Flowers are a luxury. They're just purely about aesthetics. So, you know, to not use any chemicals at all is sort of, I mean, you could do it, but it's like, it's just not ideal for flowers because you couldn't have a flower with a bug bite on it and sell it. Like, everything we sell has got to be 100% flawless. So it doesn't always work out to not use chemicals, but we try to not use, you know, we really try not to use very much. And definitely if we're going to spray the dahlias, for example, we'll spray early in the morning or late at night after the bees have gone to sleep because we don't want to kill any of the bees. Like, we'll really try to be very conscious about all of that.
You mentioned that there's three people involved in the operation. Do you use any, hire any extra labor to help, or is it just?
You know, not really. My sister helps from time to time, and gosh, it's great when she does. And she's probably the only person I trust to help me with the weddings. But no, I guess we are just perfectionists, and we like it done the way we like it. And, you know, we have grown, but I'm really concerned about growing to the point where our hands aren't in everything, because I think sometimes when businesses get much bigger, their quality goes downhill, and that's something we're known for, is everything we do is just perfect or flawless, and that's because we're smaller and we care about every single thing, and every single wedding has my touch on it. It's not just some little intern or, you know, hired help that's made a bouquet. Like, we really spend time and care about everything we do. So yes, it would be nice to hire some help, but there's pros and cons to both ways.
So for someone in Kentucky who's looking at adding some cut flowers either to existing farmers market sales or on farm sales or somewhere else, is there maybe one piece of advice or encouragement or caution you might give them as they look at a new cut flower enterprise?
Well, it's funny. I've had people ask about it and show interest that that's what they wanted to do, and they said, well, but I just don't want to spend very much time on it. In the growing season, especially May through November, I mean, it is so much work. I'm lucky. I love what I do. I might even be a little bit of a workaholic when it comes to this, but you know, it's not, you're not going to have a lot of free time. You can't leave your crop. So that means like you really can't go on a long vacation. It is very time consuming. It's also labor intensive in the fact that you're working in like 100 degree weather. If it's raining, you got to work in it. It's a dirty job. But for me, it is extremely fulfilling because imagine a business where you give people flowers. I mean, that makes people happy. That's pretty rewarding to me. It's a great business, but it may not be for everybody. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, thanks so much for your time, Elizabeth. Spoken with Elizabeth Hendricks Montgomery from Three Toads Farm in Winchester, which is nationally recognized as a farm florist in the U.S. And we appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.